Well, good morning, New Hope.
Morning.
And let me just start by saying that today's special. We have the kids in the room, and the best part is we have popcorn. Who can say they came to church to eat popcorn and left with popcorn? There's popcorn everywhere. So it's so good to be with you. Let me welcome our online and just glad that you tuned in with us. And as you just saw the bumper, today we are diving into how to train your dragon. And we are going to use God's word to just connect everything. This doesn't mean that we believe in dragons, right? But all we want to do is show people how we can see God in everything we do in lives, whether it's in movies or in our day-to-day. And How to Train Your Dragon is one of my favorite movies. In fact, when I was in college about 15 years ago, I named my college car Toothless, based on this movie. So this is one of my favorite movies. Let me give you a little bit of history here. This movie came out in 2010, March 26. That was a long time ago. And at the same time, this movie is one of three movies. And the first time when it came out, it made around $500 million worldwide and had two Oscars nominations. And fast forward to June 13, 2025, they came out with a live version of the How to Train Your Dragon original movie. And let me tell you something about me. I don't like when they make all these cartoon movies into live versions. It's not my thing. It's too much. Leave it like it is. But this one was different. I really liked it. If you haven't seen it, go watch it, and here's extra. I'm not getting paid for this, but I'm saying it. Universal Studios opened up a new theme park called Epic Universe. And one of their lands is five lands. One of the lands is called Burke, the town of How to Train Your Dragon. And let me tell you, I've been there. And those dragons came to life. I almost got burned by one or eaten by one. It was great. So kids, tell your parents, hey, Dad, can you take me to the new theme park in Universal Studios in Orlando? All right. Parents, I'm sorry, but I had to do it. Now, this movie is such a fun and great movie, and we meet Hiccup in the movie. Hiccup is a young man who is just trying to find his place in the world. He dreams of being a mighty Viking warrior that everyone from the town can see, but Hiccup in the real world, in the reality, he's nothing like the Vikings. Hiccup is small, he's clumsy, and he breaks things. Instead of fixing stuff, he makes it worse and worse and worse, to the point that the town knows this. And the town is like, don't bring Hiccup. Every time Hiccup comes, he destroys everything. And to make it even worse for Hiccup, his dad is the chief of Burke. He's the big boss. He's the one everyone likes. He's the leader. But then his son is the opposite. They don't look alike. So Hiccup feels completely opposite from his dad. But Hiccup wants to prove that he belongs. He wants to prove that I am a dragon killer. I'm a Viking. I want to prove to the town, prove to my dad that I am this great, magnificent, awesome dragon killer. So Hiccup, it's smart, he's creative, and he comes up with a plan. He creates this machine that will help him capture the one dragon no one has ever seen, no one has ever saw or killed in their history, the famous Night Fury. So the dragons attack the town. They come and attack, and this is Hiccup. Okay, this is my chance. I'm going to take down this dragon. He grabs his machine, puts it in the middle, and waits for the dragon to come down. And with his luck, he hits the dragon. And the dragon falls somewhere else in the land. But here's the news. No one was there to see it. No one was there to see what he had just done. And instead of the town seeing the good thing he did, they saw the worst thing he did. They saw how Hiccup makes things worse. So we're about to watch a clip where you see how his dad sees him, how the town sees him, and how his friends, even the girl he has a crush on, sees him. So let's watch this clip.
Sorry, Dad.
Watch out!
Okay, but I hit a night fury. Dad, this isn't like any other time, man. I really hit one.
Aye. Dragon no one's ever seen.
Because it uses night as its camouflage. If you squint, you can see it blotting out the stars. That's how I shot it down.
Stop! Stop! Every time you step outside, disaster happens. Can you not see that I have bigger problems? Winter is almost here, and I have an entire village to feed.
Between you and me, the village could do with a little less feeding.
This isn't a joke, Hiccup! Why can't you follow the simplest orders?
Because I can't stop myself. Okay, I see a dragon and I have to just kill it. You know, it's who I am.
You're many things, son. But a dragon killer is not one of them. Get back to the house. Make sure he stays there.
How much can one person mess up?
Anyone else would have been booted off the island by now.
I guess being son of the chief has its privileges.
Not for the chief, though.
Anyway, my dad's super proud of me, so... Dad, I was just talking...
Don't talk to me in public.
Hiccup wanted nothing more than to belong, to prove that he is a Viking, that he is one of them. And as we can see, he's the opposite. He's breaking stuff. He's not doing the thing he needs to be doing. Instead of helping, he makes things worse. Hiccup is a mess. And let me tell you this. The Bible is full of hiccups. People who don't look like the part, don't fit the expectations. Yet, God saw something in them the world overlooked. Let me give you an example. David. We all know King David. The one who defeated Goliath, the king of Israel. And if you've been in church for a while, you know this. And if you haven't been in church, and this is your first time here with us, you have heard that name before. But do you know that before David became who he is, he was not strong. He was weak. He was short. People overlook at him. But the prophet Samuel came. As the prophet searching for the next king, he came, and this is how bad it looks for David. David's own father didn't even invite him to the lineup. David's father, Jesse, does not invite him to the lineup. And let me give you an example of a nice lineup. If you watch baseball, imagine Babe Ruth, Otani, Derek Jeter, me, you. I'm short. That's how it look. David, that's how David looks. David's just the youngest, the shepherd boy who belongs in the fields and not part of the king's court. Like, no, David, no, let's not use that kid. He's the opposite of that. But while everyone else judged by appearance, God was looking at something deeper. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him.' The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by our appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." The Lord looks at the heart. So David, who was the youngest and the least likely person to become king, God chose him. He chose him. And just like Hiccup, David's difference became his own strength. Let me tell you an example. Goliath. David's facing Goliath, and what does David do? He has a sword. He has a shield. He's like, this is not me. He drops the shield. He drops the sword. And he gets the one tool that he's been using his whole entire lifetime as he was taking care of his sheep at night, and defeats Goliath. And also David shows that he trusts God. Now, I would like to say this. The very things that make you different may be exactly what God wants to use to make a difference. The very things that make you different may be exactly what God wants to use to make a difference. As followers of Christ, as fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ, we are different by nature. The world will tell you, hate. God tells you, love. The world will tell you, take revenge. God tells you, forgive. Show compassion. Show mercy. That's already different from what the world tells us to do. That's what we are called to do. We are called to be different in this broken world. And your difference does make a difference in your family, at your work, with your friends. When you love and show the love of Christ, like it doesn't matter, like you just want to show it, people will think you are the weird guy. People will say, oh, let's not invite him. But that's okay because you're showing God's love. That's the difference here. Now, going back to the movie, Hiccup finally gets the chance to kill this Night Fury. He finds the dragon that he captures. He's on the ground. He's tied up. And Hiccup has the knife. Hiccup is like, I will kill this dragon. I can kill this dragon. But guess what? He doesn't kill the dragon. He finds out that his dad is right. He's not a dragon killer. He's different. So what does he do? He lets the dragon go. He lets the dragon go and starts building a friendship with the dragon to the point that he gives a name to it, Toothless. Now, Toothless and Hiccup are friends, and they begin to know each other. They begin to laugh, and now Hiccup is in this confused world because he's trained to kill a dragon, but now he has a dragon as a friend. So he's questioning his identity. He's questioning his beliefs. He's questioning his own traditions to the point where when he meets with his friends, he's telling them, maybe the dragons are not as bad as we think they are. Maybe they're not. And I want us to watch this next clip because it shows how Hiccup is already looking at things differently. So let's watch this next clip.
Reddit.
But you know, maybe they're not as bad as we think they are.
Are you actually insane or do you just act that way?
Is there a third option?
Wiping out dragons is why we're here. It's why the best of our tribes came together. Because yes, dragons are as bad as we think.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, maybe we're part of the problem. You know, moving in on their lands, eating their food.
Wow. You live in a different world, don't you? Just coast by, taking it all for granted.
Well, I don't...
Never having to work for anything, never struggling to get a foot up. Well, guess what? I come from nothing. No chief for a dad, no handouts, no excuses. Not afraid of hard work, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. Which, in this case, means wiping out the dragons for the good of everyone.
Yeah.
You know what else?
I'm afraid to ask.
I've got my eye on that big house of yours. I'm gonna be chief one day.
I don't doubt it. Actually, I think my dad would be thrilled. Besides, you're the kid he always hoped for. Instead, he got all this.
Stay out of my way, Hiccup.
Our job is to kill the dragons for the good of everyone. That's what Astra is saying. That's the Viking way. That's the way it has always been done. To Astra, killing dragons isn't just a tradition. It's their duty, their identity, a way to protect their people. But as you saw this, Hiccup sees different. Hiccup sees something different. He knows the dragons aren't the enemy everyone believes they are. He's been close enough to see their fear, their beauty, their ability to live in a peaceful world with humans. And now Hiccup faces a choice to live by the traditions of his own culture or to accept the new truth that he has discovered. And let me tell you, the Bible warns us about moments like this. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. What Ushtra saw as right actually was leading to destruction, to hate, to bitterness. And that's the same danger you and I face today when culture, when tradition, or popular opinion tells us something is for the good of everyone. But it does not align with God's truth. And that's why God calls us to something different. Romans 12:2 says this: don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The patterns or the behaviors for the Vikings was to destroy the dragons. That's what we do. That's our pattern. That's our behavior. We kill dragons. But the behaviors for us may look like peer pressure, culture norms, or habits we never question. But God challenged us not to simply go with the flow. And it's easy for us to go with the flow. God doesn't want us to go with the flow. God wants us to show his love and his care. Again, the world may tell you, put your friend down, put your enemy down. But God tells you, love your enemy, love your friend. That's one of the commandments God, Jesus gave us. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The world gives you a different commandment. Every man for itself. Every man for itself. And that's a lie. God gives us a different mindset. And that's why we need to renew our mindsets constantly and daily. God's word will challenge us not simply just to go with the flow, but to reshape our thinking and follow his flow, not our flow. So with this, I can say, sometimes doing what's for the good of everyone in the world's eyes isn't the same as doing what's right in God's eyes. Sometimes doing what's for the good of everyone in the world's eyes isn't the same as doing what's right in God's eyes. So now going back to the movie, Hiccup is stuck in two worlds. He's training to become a dragon killer. At the same time, he's getting to know a dragon and becoming friends with a dragon. And here's the funny thing that happens here. As he's training to become this fearless dragon killer, he's winning all the battles against them, not because he's being mean to them, but because he's knowing their weaknesses. He's knowing their weak points, what they are afraid of. But in the town's eyes, if you look at it, in the town's eyes, they are seeing, oh man, Hiccup is not the skinny guy anymore. He has matured. He's a man. Even the dragons fear him. And what Hiccup doesn't know is that during this training, in this class, the one who has the highest point in the class will have the honor to kill a dragon in front of the whole town. And this is what happens to Hiccup. He wins. Now he has to prove and show the whole town, including his dad, that he is a true Viking by killing this dragon. But as we know, Hiccup does not kill dragons. He doesn't kill them. He's friends with them. So Hiccup comes up with a plan. This is what he does. He's like, I go show the world. I go show my dad and the town that I can show them how we can be friends with dragons. So what happens is this. He's in the battlefield with a dragon. The dragon's attacking him. Hiccup drops his sword, his shield, puts his hand like this, and the dragon comes close to him and submits to him. The whole town is in shock. Everyone is thinking to themselves, what's happening? Hiccup's dad, the king, the chief, he sees betrayal. He's like, how is my son doing this? Why is my son doing this? And he becomes overcome with fear. He gets angry that he jumps into that battle zone. And as soon as he jumps into that battle zone, that dragon starts defending himself, about to kill him and Hiccup. But then the Night Fury, Toothless, comes and rescues him. And now this is the dragon no one has ever seen. This is the dragon everybody wants to capture. So his dad takes this opportunity to capture Toothless, to capture the Night Fury with the whole town. And now Hiccup plans, his plan failed. No one sees what he sees. To the point that his dad just feels that his son just betrayed him. And I want us to look at this part, clip number 3.
No,
Dad.
I should have seen the signs.
Dad.
We had a deal.
I know, but that was before. He's all so messed up.
So everything in the ring, a trick? A lie?
No, I should have told you before now. Take that out on me. It's my fault. Please don't hurt Toothless.
The dragon. That's what you're worried about. Not the people you almost killed.
He's not dangerous. He was protecting me.
They took your mother, for God's sake. If she could see you now standing there with them, when they've killed hundreds of us.
And we've killed thousands of them. They defend themselves, that's all. They raid us because they have to. If they don't bring enough food back, they'll be eating themselves. There's something else on their island. A dragon like I've never seen.
Their island? You've been to the nest.
Did I say nest?
Did you find it?
I didn't. Toothless did. Only a dragon can find the island.
No? Dad?
No. You don't know what you're up against. There's nothing like you've ever seen. You can't win this one. For once in your life, would you please just listen to me?
You've thrown your lot in with them. You're not one of us. You're not my son. Ready to ship! We sail at dawn!
His father says, "You are not my son." Man, that hits hard. That's more than just disappointment. That's rejection. Words like that don't just question what you are. They cut into who you are. And maybe you've been there. Maybe someone's words made you feel unwanted, unseen, unloved. Maybe someone did mention to you and say to you, "You are not my son. You are not my daughter. You are not one of us. You're not like me. I don't love you anymore. Go away. You don't belong here. What are you doing here? You need to go. Your last name is not my last name anymore." Maybe you have heard that before. Maybe you have said those words to somebody. And let me tell you what Romans 12:21 says here. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. That means we don't let hurtful actions define or dictate our response. We don't let those words control who we are. Because if you believe in God, God calls you his children. And you have a place where you do belong. The truth is this, people will reject you. But God will never reject you. In Christ, you are fully accepted, deeply loved, and he calls you his children. And because of that, you have the power to respond to rejection, not with bitterness, but with grace. Not with revenge, but with love. That's what it looks like. That's what how it looks to overcome evil with good, by choosing God's way, even when it still hurts. I can say this here. You can't always control what people say to you, but you can choose to live out the truth God says about you. I was saying this morning that my dad said a bunch of harsh words to me. He told me that I'm a mess. He told me I'm never going to be good enough. He told me I'm worthless, and it's my fault that he went through a divorce with my mom. He blamed me for his own failures. He blamed me. I'm not a good child, to a point that my dad once told me, "You know what? You just go be a landscaper like every other Mexican. That's who you're going to be. You're not good enough." And those words impacted me and hurt me, but I met Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ told me something different. He told me that I love you, that I care for you, and that your imperfections will be my perfections. And I will use you to transform my world, to teach about Jesus to everyone that comes to me. And you know what? Now I can say, I love my Father. I'm forgiving my Father because the one who caused me son first has forgiven me first. But it takes a step of faith. It takes a step of yes, becoming, not listening to those words. And now I call my dad and I say, hey, daddy, how you doing? I love you. Because I know he's not perfect. And yes, it was hard to listen to those words as I was growing up. But those words don't define me. God's victory defines me. And that's the same for you. That's the same for me. When you put your hope in God and trust God's word, no words will change you except his words. Because those words are living and they do transform us. They do change us. My grandma, I love her to death, but one day she told me when she knew I wanted to become or study music, she was joking. She said, how you gonna pay your bills? Are you gonna pay your bills with songs? Like, you have to be really good, Miko, but you're not that good. I mean, at that moment, those words still hurt me, right? But what my grandma didn't know back then is that God had a plan already. And that he used my music for me to fall in love more with God to the point that I abandoned music to just continue preaching his word. God does miracle things in different things. God is mysterious, and that's the best thing about God. He'll use you when you less expect it in the most weird, awkward way ever. And I can just say this in my own life. When I decide to follow God and choose to trust him with all my heart, nothing else defines me but Jesus Christ. So church, God loves you, he sees you, and he cares for you. And something about Hiccup is that even though his dad said, you are not my son, Hiccup doesn't give up. Hiccup gets up to the point that he teaches his friends, all right, we are going to learn how to fly with dragons, and together we are going to save our town from this evil person or this evil dragon that's there. So his dad goes to battle. His dad is going, he takes his staff and they're going to battle. Hiccup trains his friends. They ride on dragons and they're fighting with the dragon. They're fighting with other stuff. And his dad sees him. His dad sees something crazy. How in the world is my son flying on the dragon? How is that possible? They don't coexist. How is that possible? And his dad finally sees what Hiccup saw in the beginning. That the dragons are not the enemy. So Hiccup finds Toothless. Toothless was in prison. And he was on a boat falling into the water, drowning. Hiccup goes down to the water to save him. But Hiccup's skinny. He's not strong. So he couldn't open the cage. Then his dad comes and rescues Hiccup. And guess who also he rescues? Toothless. And I want us to see this next clip.
You got it, buddy.
Hiccup. I was only trying to protect you.
I know, Dad. Let me return the favor.
Whatever happens up there, I'm proud to call you my son.
And that's all I need. Let's go.
Sometimes God's greatest victories come when we choose to turn an enemy into a friend. Sometimes God's greatest victories come when we choose to turn an enemy into a friend. Let me give you a Bible story here. We all know Joseph from the Old Testament, Genesis. Joseph was the youngest brother of, I think, 11. He was number 12, if I'm not mistaken. And what did his brothers do? They sold him. They sold him into slavery. They put him into a pit. They did him wrong. But what the brothers didn't know is that 13 years passed, and now Joseph is the second in command all over Egypt. He's like the vice president. He's the second in command. I mean, even though he went through suffering, he went through a lot of stuff to get where he's at, he's there. And when Joseph finds out that his brothers are coming to him for help, Joseph can decide two things. Either I help or I take revenge. So, you know, the world will tell you, take revenge. Kill your brothers. Look what they did to you. But Joseph doesn't do that. In fact, he forgives them, provides for their needs. And this is what he tells them in Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. So Joseph saw the blessing opportunity from his struggles, from his problems. Instead of choosing revenge, he chose mercy. And church, in the last couple of minutes I have, often the dragons we fear the most aren't the ones in front of us, but they're the ones inside of us. Whether that's fear, pride, hurt, loneliness. And something that we can see in How to Train Your Dragon, that when we face our fears, God will respond to us. God will show us a different way. So, what are the dragons in your life? Maybe it's a person you've been avoiding, a wound you haven't dealt with. Or maybe it's fear of you running, it's fear of just being yourself, and I just don't want to do this. Or maybe for you it's to take a step of faith and trust in God. But maybe you've been trained like the Vikings to attack, to hide, to shut it out. But what if God is asking you to do something different? What if the very thing you fear most is actually the key to your growth? What if? God doesn't always cause us to defeat the unknown. Sometimes he calls us to be transformed through it. That means instead of asking, God, how do I get rid of this? We start asking, God, what do you want to do in me through this? Because every problem has an opportunity for us. The battles we fear often lead to the breakthrough we need. So this week, choose compassion over fear. Choose truth over tradition. Choose forgiveness over revenge. And watch how God can turn your greatest struggles into your greatest victory. And let me tell you something, church. There's victory already because Jesus defeated death at that cross. And he rose from the dead. And you and I can walk as champions because Jesus already championed death. He defeated the enemy at that cross. So you and I can walk and say, there is victory because Jesus won the battle. There is victory in my life because Jesus already done the hard thing for me. All it takes is for us to believe in Jesus Christ. And once you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, victory comes to you right away. Even in your struggles, there is victory. Let me pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love. Lord, today I pray for the dragons that we are dealing with in our daily lives, Lord. Lord, I pray that we can see the opportunity of every struggle, of every problem, Lord. Lord, that we can see that our difference does make a difference. Lord, I pray that as we continue this week, we can talk to those persons that have hurt us and forgive them. Lord, I pray that as we go into this week, we can walk victorious because you already won the battle at the cross. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died at that cross and rose on the third day. And thanks to that, you and everyone who believes in you will have everlasting life. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus Christ. In your name we pray and say, amen. Thank you, church.